Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I mean, when we were given, when God has placed things in our hands that we're able to then encourage other people and build up other ministries, we should do that.
That's Sheila Walsh on Focus on the Family Minute about using the blessings God has given you.
But when you find yourself, I remember after my time in the psychiatric hospital, my house was sold and I literally moved into a little apartment with two white plastic chairs from Walmart. And I remember sitting there, all I'd taken with me were my books. And I'd lived in a beautiful fancy house on the ocean. And now here I was in this little, and I thought, you know what, Lord? The one thing that's not changed is you. You're here. And so I just think wherever you find yourself in life, use everything God has given you to bless others, but be at peace in yourself.
Hear more from Sheila about experiencing the impact of Christ in your life when you visit familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Once upon a time, more than 2.5 centuries ago, an American colonist named James Edward Oglethorpe embarked upon the most significant public relations mission of his life. What it was a powwow, a summit conference with leaders of the Cherokee tribe beside a stream in the woods over a pinewood campfire. At the conclusion of the meeting, Oglethorpe and the others smoked the pipe of peace, and the land all around was colonized, and Georgia was born. But this is the rest of the story. The site of the Cherokee powwow was not destined to become famous as such. Early colonists would more likely have identified the place with the grist mill that was built on the stream some years later by a miller named John. Eventually, much of the woodland was cleared. The property was used for the growing of indigo, a blue dye-yielding plant, which was among the leading exports of the Old South. And then in 1857, the plantation was purchased by Louis Berkmans, a Belgian baron who was also a respected horticulturist. Together with his son, Berkmans transformed the property into the first commercial tree nursery in the southern United States. Berkmans and Son imported rare and beautiful trees and plants from all over the world, many of which found their way to the doorsteps and the gardens of the South's most splendid mansions. The rarest and the most beautiful, of course, continued to flourish on the Berkmans plantation. Along the drive leading to the old manor house, a double row of dozens of flowering trees were planted. Now it's later, it's generations later, subsequent owners conducting major renovations on the property, when earth-moving equipment struck something hard. Now, you remember the old mill stream? You remember the site where James Oglethorpe and the Cherokee sat down and smoked the peace pipe? Well, not far from there, by 20th century workmen performing construction, was discovered an ancient Cherokee burial ground. And the workmen pondered, even as they labored, the vague possibility that their shovels had stirred more than the earth, had perhaps even invited the wrath of disquieted souls. In the world of sport, there is a treasure, a tradition unlike any other anywhere, called the Augusta National Golf Club. And down those fabled fairways, lovingly sculpted out of the land of the legendary Bobby Jones, have trudged and strolled the greatest of the game, as they do each year, in a uniquely prestigious golf tournament known throughout the globe as the Masters. But now you know that Georgia herself was born there. The explosion of springtime color, the breathtaking gardens, even magnificent Magnolia Lane were there long before golf was. And the old mill stream, why, that was named for the original proprietor of the old grist mill, John Ray. Now, next spring, you'll be watching the Masters on television. Pay close attention as the golfers approach the par 3 12th hole. You may hear them complain about something they call the Amen Corner. You may hear them complain about the mysterious swirling wind and the sudden inexplicable gusts that have been grabbing perfectly struck golf balls and hurling them into Ray's Creek for 60 years. Swift, invisible blasts of breath from somewhere in the air over that 12th green, where workmen once upon a time discovered the Cherokee bones and disturbed their peaceful rest. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have Slo County Supervisor John Pashon on the show. You can call in. We'll answer your questions. We're also talking a little bit about the fight over oil that is happening on the Central Coast right now. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on with protesters, the sheriff, ICE. We're going to get into the measure H-25, the...
26.
H-26. Yep. That is to do another gas tax. We do have a text message to where did they move the gas tax monies meant for roads.
So the state of California, actually, this is years ago, but what they did was put a lot of it into different projects and programs instead of improving the roads. And then in addition to that, you have 20% of the vehicles, let's say this year so far, have been electric vehicles, which do not pay the gas tax, but they're using the roads. So they are not actually contributing to the welfare of the roads. So, I mean, we're dealing with lots of different things.
And we're going to go, again, we'll answer your questions. I have some things that I'm talking to him about also. I did watch the congressional hearing. I watched it days later, but there was a congressional hearing. So once a year, they pass a bill to give money to the military and to the Pentagon.
Correct.
And that bill is going through. It was passed by Congress. That bill was passed by Congress last week. But here's the interesting thing. This is why it kind of relates to our community and our counties. So we have Congressman Salud Carbajal was there, and so were others. And you had a gentleman from Texas Congressman Wesley Hunt, and he had made a motion to add an amendment. And he wanted to add an amendment to it that we have. There are, I think, three platforms, oil platforms off the coast of Santa Barbara. And there has been a battle. You have Newsom and the Coastal Commission doesn't want those oil wells to be able to ship their oil through a pipeline called the San Ynez Oil Pipeline. It's owned by Sable Offshore. Mm-hmm. And there's this fight.
It was owned by Plains All American Pipeline years ago, and they had an accident that it wasn't maintained, and so they had to repair it all, and then Sable picked it up and made it part of the platform, and they're moving oil through it right now.
It's probably about 15-20% of California's oil is coming from there.
Yep.
So there's this group that the California Coastal Commission and the state is trying to shut it down, saying some of this goes through government lands, we want it all stopped. And Sable then sent a thing over to the Trump administration and said, we want to get eminent domain anywhere our pipeline goes so we can secure the flowing of oil. So Texas Congressman Wesley Hunt authored an amendment saying, we're going to give them eminent domain all along the pipeline.
and you should know that pipeline runs partly through San Luis Obispo County, in the southern corner. And so the southeastern corner of our county into Kern County. And so, and then it goes into the refineries in Kern County. So, yes, they're going to be, I gather, from your, and I read it first with your story online. But I will tell you that I think it's an interesting way to be able to keep that oil flowing The federal government wants it. They're going to get it into Kern County, and then Kern County is going to be able to distribute it to the military bases around the state. Because, once again, we are an energy island. We're an oil island, and we don't bring in oil or from other states. And so, you know, we have to be able to supply it here locally.
Well, this amendment went through, and Slood Carbajal did not want it. A number of congressmen from California did not want it. The Texans wanted it, and in the end, it passed. It didn't pass high, but it did get voted in, 216 to 212, along with a $1.5 trillion budget. And the Congress passed it, allowed the amendment, passed the bill, and it went back to the Senate. And they are looking at the numbers, and there's a number of the senators very angry about the amount of money and all the pork in there. The issue with the pipeline is not their issues. There's some other issues causing the Senate to be a little bit angry.
Right.
But if this goes through, the fight over the offshore oil in Santa Barbara is over.
It basically across the board, you're exactly right. Takes the local jurisdictions, takes the state out of the equation, and away it goes.
Do you think this is a big deal in this community?
It's a very, very big deal. Because they figured out a way to be able to, you know, have the federal government, you know, it's dominating this industry now. So yes.
And Carbajal's argument was the state should be deciding what happens in our state regarding oil pipelines, not the federal government, and that you guys are doing an end run. And very angry, asked them not to do this, but didn't win this argument.
No, it's a tough argument to win against this White House and the federal government.
It is over. Now there's we're having some other arguments here locally with the Sheriff's Department, and you have the anti-ICE people that act like the sheriff is not allowed to even talk to ICE, and there are laws making him not work with ICE. Can you explain what the law actually says and what can the sheriff do with ICE? Are you aware of what he can and cannot do?
It's a Senate Bill 54, and it passed years ago. And what it does overall, it limits when local law enforcement can cooperate with federal immigration authorities while allowing certain exceptions under state law. So it is because they're a federal agency and they can do certain things. But one of the things that they can do is that they can go and pick up people that have been released from jail, that have committed crimes that are not citizens, and be able to move them back to their home countries. And we've seen this been going on all over the place, but it's through the jail. And there's a number of people that believe that the sheriff, I am not one of them, I totally believe the sheriff is in full compliance with Senate Bill 54, and I think he's proven that. We had a day-long meeting on this where we had plenty of speakers and protesters, and the sheriff did a great job kind of explaining it to everybody. He was in full compliance with SB 54, and he makes this report to the California Attorney General's office, and they have agreed with it in the past too. Also, you know, he has to do this every year, so there'll be another one next year. The sheriff's office will probably come to the Board of Supervisors and do another one. There have been protesters. A lot of the local organizations kind of affiliated with the Democrat Party have shown up to protest because they say he's out of compliance and he's done things. They actually use some rhetoric. I think it was 1,000 people have been taken from the streets of San Luis Obispo at the last meeting. This meeting, they've changed it now, but the beauty of this is that the sheriff has put together a website, which you can find on his website, and it's a public website that actually will help, he says, to promote transparency, and it provides the maximum amount of information permitted under California law on the individual ones. And if you take a look at this, it's kind of a dashboard on the immigration issues in ICE, and so far this year, 42 people have been taken from our community after they were charged with crimes or they were found guilty of crimes or served their time that are not citizens of this country. And they're a very, it actually says on the website the different crimes that they've committed. You know, some of them are you know, drinking and driving with children in the car. You know, there's some violent ones on here. There's murder. And so these are people that have committed crimes in our community and that are being moved out of the country.
And when you look at it, you'll notice that the people on there, there's two ways they can get them. They can, if they can do warrants. So let's say you murdered somebody and you spend 5 years in prison and you get out into our county. They can immediately pick you up and remove you. Let's say you raped a child and you spent 10 years in prison. You get out and they will remove you. But again, I was looking at the list. It's heavy on people that have assaulted women. It's heavy on people. It's a lot of assaults of women, a lot of burglaries, not a lot of drug crimes. I was surprised at the lack of drug crimes. This is, you know, child rapes. This is assaults of women, a lot of assaults. Yeah. That I would think, I would say the primary crime is assaulting. Yeah. Someone else.
And you've seen the list. And everybody, this is the beauty of it, is you can go look at the list yourself. If you don't believe what I'm saying, which a lot of the people that come to the meetings don't believe a lot of things that I'm saying, fighting ICE, and they bring their posters, you know. So the last meeting, too, like over a month and a half ago, the meeting was, it kind of got really pretty crazy meeting. There was a lot of people, you know, screaming and yelling and cussing everybody out and flipping people off, you know, and calling everybody a liar. And it was a rodeo, and it was just crazy. And to me, you know, once again, you're trying to take the emotion out of this and have a factual discussion. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's what's going on in the dashboard. I think that the sheriff has put up will hopefully get everybody to understand the severity of these cases.
And one of the other things that happened, the Tribune posted an article on July 24th that says, is the sheriff violating the law in the way that he's working with ICE? And then they try to focus on, so for example, if they get a warrant for ICE, they have to abide. They have to legally abide. But if they just arrest somebody for like beating their wife and they have them in jail and they'll send over, would like to pick them up. They tell them, they don't tell that person that you got this letter that they'd like to grab you. And then they're usually there when you're being released. They know the day from the website when you're going to be released, and they're waiting outside. There were three cases, I think, that the Tribune focused on. They said these people were still in custody. So let's say it's 7 a.m. and they're processing you to move you out and release you. And then at 8 o'clock while you're being released, they get an email saying, you know, here's our list of people we're going to tell you that we want information on. There were three times that it happened on the same day that they got the list that they were processing someone out, and they let him out before they were told. That isn't a violation of the law. They're not legally allowed to stop your release you beat up a woman, assaulted a woman, but we're going to stop your release to protect you from being deported from our country. They're not allowed to do that. The laws, they're not working with ICE by not telling these people, not holding them back. They're following the law. All three occasions, it was the same day.
Mm-hmm. And they have actually, there's documented cases, too, where the person has walked to the bus stop down there in Kansas Avenue, and ICE has actually picked them up at the bus stop.
Yes.
So, I mean, they have the right, ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement has the right to pick up these folks if they're held on a retainer, if they're doing it. I wanted to point out one other thing, is that if you go back last year to 2025, for the whole year, the number of qualifying cases was 57. So we're at 42 this year, and we're now just coming into our eighth month.
Is it qualifying case when they had a warrant to pick them up or when they arrested them outside the jail? A qualifying case would be a warrant, correct?
I would believe so, yes.
And again, the warrants, let's say that you have spent a year in jail for assaulting a child. They're going to remove you when you get out. They're going to take people from the jail and remove them. And remember, I read online people saying, you know, undocumented immigrants commit less crimes than other people. Well, right now, what I do notice is documented immigrants commit very few crimes. They're here legally. They know they can't commit crimes. They seem to follow. But if you look at last year, we had 5 murders. Only one of the murder suspects, and some of them had 2 suspects, only one of the murder suspects was a legal, it was a citizen. There were no legal immigrants. All the others were undocumented immigrants. I had deputies on the show. They said most of the child abuse and rapes are undocumented immigrants in this county. So if you want to say they don't commit crimes, just go look at the arrest, what's going on the arrest road. On the arrest
and here's the other rules. Thing, too, if you look at this. So the people have lived here a number of years. There is a path to citizenship in the United States of America. And even if you live in a different country and you would like to become a citizen, there's a path to citizenship here. I just went last Thursday. I went to a new citizen swearing in. And there were 62 people that were sworn in as citizens of this country, all different nations. Actually, the majority of them were, and this was actually, it was actually at an Air Force base, and these people had all now were serving in the United States Air Force. But it was everything from the United Kingdom to Germany. There's a number of African nations. I would say the majority of folks were from African nations like South Africa or Gambia or Togo. There was one gentleman from Togo. And then there were very few people were from kind of South and Central America, I think 3 or 4. But there's a path to citizenship. And so if you've been here 30 years and you've decided you didn't want to become a citizen, you know, and you really should rethink that. I'm telling you right now, you know, you can get on this. It's not impossible. And that's, to me, I think the thing is, what have you been doing for 30 years, right? You know, why don't you want to, if you live here, you work here, your family's here, your kids, you're raising your kids here, they're in our local schools, don't you think you should be a citizen of this country? Pledge allegiance to this country.
There are a lot of people that do become citizens.
There are.
And then 100%. You have those that don't want to become citizens.
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand, right?
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with John Pashon.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages staging a comeback from yesterday's brutal sell-off with tech and chips leading the rebound. The tech-heavy Nasdaq snapping a 6-session losing streak. The major averages have turned positive for the week. The Magnificent 7 big-cap tech stocks were mixed. Meta stock tumbling nearly 8%. The social media giant's earnings miss, adding to worries about its ability to recoup AI investments. However, it was a different story for Microsoft, its stock jumping over 15% after the software giant delivered a robust earnings report. After the bell, Apple and Amazon will be delivering earnings. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Goldman Sachs, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Travelers, Johnson & Johnson, and Salesforce. The Dow rising 614 points, the Nasdaq higher by 679, S&P 500 up 121. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm here with John Pashon, our county supervisor with the North County. And right now,
the first
John,
district.
District 1, that is San Miguel, parts of Templeton. It is all of Paso Robles, all the way up to the border and all the way over on the other side. You've got Heritage Shandon. Ranch.
Yep. And Heritage Ranch and Lake Nacimiento.
And Creston, too, correct? Am I right?
No, I do not have Creston.
Okay. I was wrong.
Heather Moreno is the representative for Creston.
I want to talk to you, too, and then we'll go on to another subject. They're trying, so this group of citizens that believes that the sheriff he's not even legally allowed to talk to ICE that are protesting. They want you to let them make a committee, a citizen oversight committee to watch the sheriff?
Yes, there was a rule, and I don't know the law number. I can't tell you what the bill number, but it would be a citizens oversight committee that comes together and gives oversight to the sheriff, because they're saying the county board of supervisors doesn't have enough oversight. Now, remember, the sheriff is independently elected. It's an independently elected position.
And that's because I asked one time why you have instead of appointed, and they said the reason is you don't want them to be controlled by the supervisors.
That's exactly right.
Why would you want a committee that is a group of people trying to support illegal immigration?
No, but it's a citizens committee, so it's people that aren't even involved in law enforcement, and they're going to have oversight of a law enforcement agency. So no, I don't agree with that. I think our sheriff's department is exceptional. They do a great job. Our sheriff is very, very good, as is law enforcement. I've always put them as the number one priority. We still have them listed as the number one priority in San Luis Obispo County, law enforcement, which would include the district attorney's office and probation, all of these. And under public safety, CAL FIRE is under that, too. The county fire efforts are under that, too. We have people that are out every day trying to protect and serve our communities, and we should applaud them.
I agree. And again, when they do have problems, you write about it, you clean it up.
Yeah.
But like the Tribune article accused them of possibly breaking the law three times when they let people out, and they explained, no, we can't hold them back in. Tribune put the article up anyway.
Yeah.
Did he break the law? And then they explained that he didn't. Well, if you already looked at it and they didn't break the law, why would you have that in your headline?
Could you imagine that you keep people longer than their time served? You know, that you just kept them in jail forever. That's something that was probably done, 75 years ago, right? You know, not here, of course, but in other places. But I will tell you, you hear about that and you're just, you can't do that. So, you get them loose and the federal government comes in and says, we want to talk to you. That's what it is. And SB 54 allows that to happen.
And again, they still do have to do any warrant. They have to comply. Let's go back to, I want to change back to this measure H-26. I want to find out what you think of it. Will you first explain it to the public and what you feel about it and what you want the public to do?
This is a law that was passed that creates something called a self-help county. So Sacramento politicians put together a fund. And if you put a ballot initiative together and raise your own taxes in a county, they will give you additional money for roads or for projects, self-help. And so it can be, it could be a bike path. It could be, you know, the money can be spent on roads. It can be spent on maintenance of roads, sidewalks, things like that. So 10 years ago, we did have one of these that was put onto the ballot. I only remember it because I was on the ballot at the same time. I was not for it because it's a sales tax increase, and it will raise sales taxes on things that you're taxed on. But what it is, and I've taken a pledge never to raise taxes or vote for tax increases, and so I've been against this. It did take a 2/3 vote. It failed 10 years ago, and they've wanted to move forward with it ever since. And so it's H-26, I think, is the one you'll see. And I know that I'll probably be coming back onto this show in a couple months to talk about all the ballot initiatives, because there's going to be, I think, 14 ballot initiatives for the state of California, then a number of local ones. But this ballot initiative would raise something like $28 to $30 million, if it passed, in tax revenue from everybody in the community that pays sales tax. That money then would go to match money with the state, and they'd have this money to be able to spend on different projects around the county. And so, to me, it's a sales tax. It disproportionately hurts people that are in lower income brackets, and it's a tax, and I'm just not supportive of it. And it's coming up. It was put on the ballot it was supported by a slow cog, so the Council of Governments, all the cities were there. They voted on it. I think I was one of maybe two that voted against it, and then it came to the Board of Supervisors, and I voted against it again. So I'm going to continue to talk about it through the next 4 months. I think I'm going to probably sign on to the ballot opposition argument, and we'll continue to keep driving it. I know that the Central Coast Taxpayers Association is not for it, and a number of other local elected officials are against it too.
So did they do a polling this time? A lot of times they're going to do these taxes, they do a poll before. Yeah. Do you know if they did a polling?
They did quite extensive, because they were trying to do a citizens initiative, collect signatures, and I guess they had a problem with the signatures, and so they had to start over and then just get the basically. But they did do a survey. From what I understand, it's in the neighborhood of, right now, before you say anything, you just call it a self-help issue. What ends up happening is that I think 54% of the population supported it, but it needs a 66 2/3 vote to pass.
And if it comes out, if you say self-help, I voted for things that I realized what they were later, and I was like, why in the world did I vote for that? The wording talked me into it.
Yeah.
But if there's the outreach, it's unlikely to pass then.
I think it is. I don't hold it against the people that are promoting it or they're trying to, you know, but to me, it disproportionately hurts people that are in lower income brackets. I have some disadvantaged communities in my district. I have some, you know, some people that are, it's very, very tough. It's very expensive to live in San Luis Obispo County right now. And I, you know, every day I try to figure out ways to make it easier to live here for working families. So I'll continue to do that.
And I was in the board meeting this week, Tuesday. I think I'm going to be off on the money a little bit. I think you gave like $4.3 million or something to roads in certain areas, including a lot of that going to Templeton and San Miguel.
Yes,
is that correct?
We did get some road money. Yeah, and that's where the funding should come from. It should come from the county. We shouldn't be raising it additional money on top of it. Remember, the money from the gas tax was also always promised to go to roads. We know for a fact that it doesn't all go to roads. So, you know, it's just these budget games that just get, I mean, you've got to really kind of dig into it. And we have an attorney general, you know, who's very active in kind of rewriting some of these ballot initiative titles on the state ones and these different ones. And so, to me, I think you've got to be very careful on how you vote. Really do your research and figure this out. And that's why I appreciate coming on this show and talking about the different ballot initiatives as I've done in the past few years and few elections, so everybody can be on the same page.
I will have you on like we did last time.
Fantastic. And
you did a great job last time. One of the things that some people have said, they want to put, and regardless if you like bike paths, they want to do a bike path from Cayucas to Morro Bay for about $10 million, correct? that can come out of this gas tax. When you think gas tax is for cars, that when they're talking about road work and not gas tax, when they're talking about this tax for roads, they consider that part of the infrastructure, and they want $10 million for that right now, correct?
That's correct. The other one that I actually talk about is the connector between Templeton and Tascadero. And so it started out as a simple plan just to cross. There's a little creek there. I think it's called Paso Robles Creek that they have to, you know, it's going to be a simple plan on how we get this over the top of that, you know, that area.
Yeah.
So you'd come down Main Street from Templeton, and it would cross over this little bridge and then go into a Tascadero, and you could connect the two. And Eric Greening, who comes to all of our meetings, and I talked about it a lot. And one of the things that I have always been supportive, but then the price tag came back, and they have to either do a tunnel under the UP, the Union Pacific Railroad track, or a bridge over the top. And now it's going to be $34 million. And it's like, no, we can't do this to people. We can't spend the money like this. You know, as
$34 million for a bridge or a tunnel?
Over the railroad track. Over the railroad
track. And this is just for bicyclists. This is just for somebody.
You could walk on it. You know, certainly could walk on it. And knowing the kids in Templeton and Atascadero, I'm sure late at night there's going to be motorcycles going across it. But, you know, it's amazing to me that we can't figure out cheaper ways to do this. Now, I will tell you, on the Bob Jones Trail, I had some problems with that because they were trying to use eminent domain to be able to take property from a property owner, and I've stayed strong on that and not I had to recuse myself a couple times, but I don't support them using eminent domain to be able to complete the Bob Jones Trail. And I actually think that the county finally have sat down with the property owner and they're moving in the right direction to work together on allowing it to happen without stealing property from somebody.
And I do think that people, I like bike trails, but when you're talking $10 million when people are broke, and when you have potholes in roads, and is that where the main focus should be?
I give you the example would be up in San Miguel, we had some what they call alligatoring it's breaking up of it's the way that the asphalt broke up. And we had it repaired and placed, and it's a nice, you know, that area is smooth, and there's some other areas we still got to work on. But the roads crews in our county, they're through the public works department, do a great job. They're on it every single day. And so if you call me and you tell me I got a pothole here, or this, you know, a section of this road fell into a stream next to it, or whatever it would be, or the folks that on Santa Rita Road who call me all the time, and we have a lot of water runoff in the winter, and we have to go out there and resurface Santa Rita. It's a dirt road, county maintained dirt road, so we get on that. But they do a great. Our public works roads crew does a great job, and you know. So call me on my cell phone. Everybody has the number. If you don't, it's 805-440-7818. Let me know if there's a road that needs to be fixed, and we'll get it on it. But that should be the primary focus of making sure that people have, you know, good roads.
And they're doing a lot this year in Templeton.
We did a lot with safety issues and repaint, restriping the crosswalks around the youth center and the skate park, making sure these kids have had a safe summer. Now, remember, this is years ago, but Debbie Arnold and Lynn Compton and I actually added roads onto our priority list. 2 years ago, the three supervisors removed that as a priority. And so the roads have not had as much of attention. I actually, you know, kind of wondered if it was because they wanted to put this ballot measure on the ballot to be able to get additional funding for that.
You know, I every once in a while I do think people do things to manipulate.
Yeah.
But they did just do this vote. What else extraordinary are you working on at the Board of Supervisors right now?
We're working on a lot of housing policies. We're trying to figure out, you know, how we can streamline some of these policies so people can build their homes. Also, the other thing, you know, which is always an issue, by the way, with CEQA, it's always an issue, the California Environmental Quality Act. But we'll keep working on those.
And I saw Heather Moreno try to get, what it is there's some developers who want to, so let's say you're going to put 4 units outside on a lot near a home, and you, instead of having, if you put all the walls together, have them all touch, it's way cheaper to do with permits. and there's restrictions when you have, they have their own walls. She is trying to take that away, but I think Bruce Gibson and Paulding stopped her from getting that on the ballot, correct?
I think we'll talk about it. The real reason is the marketplace. People want, if they're going to buy a house, they want a house that stands alone. Even if it's just a 3-foot setback to the property line, then 3 feet to the next house. They want a standalone house. They don't want to share walls. And there's more of a marketplace for young families that want a separate house. And so that was her. So it would allow you to build either kind, and allow and you could figure out, because now you can't do that. You can't build that.
We're going to take a break and be with our sponsors and be back with one more segment. So if you have a question, call in.
Propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com. We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, locally owned by fifth-generation Californian. Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles.
This is Jordan Cunningham. When life throws you a curveball, you need advocates that will fight for you. Along with my wife, Shauna, Cunningham Law Group is a legal team that understands that legal battles are personal. Whether you're navigating a difficult divorce, fighting for time with your child, or facing criminal charges, we will fight for you. Cunningham Law Group, family law and criminal defense, experience with integrity. 805-369-2399 or cunninghamlawslo.com. Because when it matters most, we're on your side.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I have John Fashan on the show, our Slo County Supervisor, talking about a number of issues. We are taking your calls. Call 238-5775, 238-5775. John, are they going to try to do federal subsidies in our county for car, not federal, but local subsidies for buying cars?
I think there's a number of people that want to do that. These are electric vehicles. You know, President Trump and his administration got rid of the subsidies, federal subsidies for electric vehicles. And so the state is going to pick that up. So the state has decided, I think they're going to give you, the state of California is going to give you $3,500 off of your electric vehicle if you buy it. And then there's discussion whether the county should be the ones that actually do that to promote local, electric vehicles. You know, to me, I mean, you're getting incentivizing it. 20% of the vehicles sold so far this year in California are electric vehicles. So, but you're giving them money. If you did the same incentive for a gas vehicle, you'd probably, you know, that would probably disappear. So, you know, to me, it's like, it's just an artificial market stimulation. Yeah.
So you are opposed to it.
I am. I don't think we should be picking winners and losers. Government should not be picking winners and losers.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
John, I need the last four digits of your cell number.
Okay. So my cell number is 805. 440-7818.
7818.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
You got it.
Hey, keep
right.
up the good
and you,
work, John.
And you can text me too, Dale.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dale's my buddy. We've been friends since we debated each other, 10 years ago when we were all running for the same seat.
I remember when you ran for that
yeah,
seat.
Yeah. He's a great guy. He's very active.
Was that your very first election?
I had been on Central Committee before and had run for office for a local Republican Central Committee and then also down in Orange County. But, yeah, that was my first elected.
You did very well in that first election, as
well,
I remember.
I only got 48% of the vote the first time, so I had to go to the runoff against, if you remember, I went to the runoff against Steve Martin, Mayor Martin. So.
And you won.
But it was fun. It was just fun. It's just, you know, debating issues and ideas and kind of, you know, really talking about what makes this a better community. How do we make this community better? That's what drives me every single day.
I love hearing politicians on. I like debates. I know some people don't like them. I like them when they're actually in a debate. I don't like when they ask the same question four different ways to promote an issue.
Like tonight, we're going to be having a forum down at the county building that I'll be at to talk about Diablo Canyon. And I'm looking forward to, which I always do, I look forward to public comment. The public comments are actually... at the board meetings, they're actually the most fun, especially when they're really angry at me for something that I have no idea what they're talking about. But we'll figure it out. You know, we'll come together. I will leave the dais and go down and say, hey, okay, what can we do to make this better? How does county government serve you to make your world a better place? You know, a lot of times I will tell you, a lot of times it's a misunderstanding, right? It's just like they maybe got half the story or they heard something. And they're so upset about it, and then we figure out, you know, what we can and cannot do, you know. But working together as a community, that's what this job is. I'm a representative of the people to county government of the people in the first district, and that's what I continue to try to do.
How much of your time is spent on constituents contacting you for a specific issue?
It's mostly that. Now that I'm in the minority on the board, I vote no a lot, and then I go out and help the people in my community. And I was at the fair, you know, last week. I do the announcing for the lambs and goats on the sale day, and so I did that. And I think we had a couple hundred. And they had kids from all over my district, you know, and throughout the county, and they were just great. It's just great talking to these kids and seeing what they need to be able to, you know, to get where they need to be. You know, a lot of them are getting into the trades. They're picking up jobs, or they're getting into the different apprenticeship programs, or going to college, or going to Cuesta. The dual enrollment stuff that all of these high schools have done with Cuesta has been a tremendous asset to our kids. They're learning a vocation, and they have hope for the future. And to me, that's what really drives it. And my own kids did the same thing, you know, through the different programs that were available throughout the county.
And you emceed the junior livestock auction, didn't you?
I did the announcing. So I announced the animal, the club that they belong to, and the weight. And then the auctioneer, which Todd Ventura took over, and he does the auction. And then we just move on to the next one. We just run them through.
How many hours were you there doing that?
We got down there. I got down there about 7:30 and was gone by 2.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. It's a great day because these kids, now some of them are nervous, some of them, you know, are really nervous, some of them, you know, the animals are nervous, but, you know, they get through it, and my own kids went through it, so, you know, they get an opportunity. We were in Creston 4-H and had a great time. I think Creston 4-H, shout out to them, they might be the largest 4-H club in the county.
You know, it's also very community. So, for example, I got a call from Michael Aaron Woody. He ran for office and did not win. I think he's a terrific person. He called me up and he got an award for best dessert. And he ran me a big piece of this cake over.
A carrot cake.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
And it was great. I don't know if you...
I read an article about it. And he experimented for something like 20 years to get the exact right way to make this. It's like his thing. I love that. We used to say, when I was on the fair board, we used to say, we honor ordinary people for their extraordinary accomplishments. And that's exactly what he did. He had an extraordinary accomplishment. This carrot cake was a blue ribbon carrot cake. I love that.
And then I had, you know the Spencers, Beatrice Spencer and John Spencer. They own Spencer Markets. For those that don't know, they're putting the Spencer Market in Paso Robles, where the Rite Aid is across from the junior high school. They have now leased the building. That will be a Spencer Markets. It's going to be a bit before it's in. But they'll be they're doing a special. She put in three needlepoint giant paintings that were needlepoint in there, and won awards: first place, second place, and a third place award over at the fair.
I can't wait! This is just great.
It's fun to watch. Yeah. Those, go see your friends.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
Hi, John. It's Michael Rivera. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
And you have a lot of wind in the background. Can you do you have a window open in your car?
No, I don't, but I'll try to make it direct. Yeah, John, I sent you an email. I hope you'll open it up for your meeting tonight for Diablo. I think it's important. But you've mentioned housing a little bit, and, you know, you talk about affordable housing, and since San Miguel and Shannon are in your district, you know, we talk about something affordable. I don't know what that means, but affordable housing, if we're talking about lower cost housing, it's not going to happen in Paso Robles anytime soon. So San Miguel and Shannon seem to be the appropriate locations because of possibly the cost of land and other things. They need some other amenities. But what is your view, and how do you look at housing and the county's role in helping to grease the skids, so to speak, to allow some of our young people to get you know, entry level housing?
I'm going to let him answer with you off because we got a lot of static on this call. Okay, John.
So I will tell you that there's kind of two things, but the first off is we give a lot of money to nonprofit builders here in San Luis Obispo County to be able to build houses. And those would be like Habitat for Humanity, people's self-help housing. I think the problem is that in the scope of the costs here in San Luis Obispo County and the state of California. So if you built one unit, they averaging right now, one unit of low-cost housing in San Luis Obispo County, it runs about $900,000 a unit. My problem is if that you take that exact same unit over to Clark County in Nevada, which is Las Vegas, that ends up being about $400,000. So why is it that we're cost so much more here for these nonprofit structures? And so we've got to really work on that. A lot of that comes down to the different laws and rules that the state has put in place or the county has put in place. And so we've got to work on lowering those costs to build here. And we've got to do it right away. As far as the kind of private builders, you know, there's a number of houses coming online in San Miguel. I had to recuse myself on that vote, but that's moving forward. And I know there's a lot of houses here in Paso Robles. There's a lot of houses, but they are very expensive. So the question is, you know, how we take care of the people that want to move into these houses. And to me, that's all about economic. Basically building a stronger economic base for families to be able to have good paying jobs here. And we continue to push for that. I continue to talk to people about moving their businesses here, expanding, making it easier for people to be able to do that. You know, we did over the years, we've lost a number of some of our bigger manufacturers here in the North County to other states, and it's the most expensive state to do business in. And we have to continue to push our elected officials to be able to lower those costs. And a lot of times that means not putting more rules and regulations down, but getting people so they're able to afford things. Because that's, to me, that's the kind of the basis of what I try to do every day, is how do we make this a better place to live and work and raise a family?
And you guys, you're having something come back right now. There's some you have a committee that's looking on changing some of the housing rules. Like I said, at Tuesday's meeting, I saw Heather Moreno asking to please, let's bring this back. Let's make this easier for people to do separate units that are not attached.
She has a great idea, and I completely, you know, let the marketplace decide on some of this, not have rules and regulations that you know, encumber the marketplace. And so I know that there was a number of people that moved into my neighborhood when they built some houses, and they've been there, I think, 5 or 6 years now, and they love the communities that we're building. We have to make it more affordable.
And John, I want to thank you very much for coming on and giving us an update.
I appreciate it. Hope to see you all tonight at the Diablo Canyon discussion down at the county building starting at 6.
Thank you very much for coming on.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at LynnPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.